Hello, everybody, and welcome to our latest podcast. Somebody's got the giggles. Oh, dear. We were trying to do a Wayne's World county, and I don't know where you have to say 5, 4, 3, and then you do 2 fingers, 1 finger, and the point to go. So I was trying to get Christina to do that. She kind of was having a little bit of trouble with it.
Keep talking, which nobody would be surprised at
ever. Nobody says 2 and 1. You just do them with your fingers.
But everyone would be going, oh, she was still talking. So not surprising. All right. Let me announce the title.
Let's.
So the title of this music playlist is called Ridiculously Long Song Titles.
Song titles that are ridiculously long.
Ridiculously.
And there are quite a lot of them out there. Once we started researching, a lot of people that talk about ridiculously long song titles too, but that won't stop us. We'll just keep going with that. Yes. So some rules.
Let's do rules.
So no slashes. No slashes in the song title. No, if you've got a slash or a part one, or one of them had exclamation marks, you went, that's the end of your sentence, dude. You just forfeited your right to put anything after that. Sorry.
Grammar-nazi.
You did not count. We are including brackets, because brackets, you know, if they add something to it, if it's just doing something silly, then,
No, brackets add.
Sometimes they do, yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. But yes, the ones we've got in brackets do.
Yes, they do add to the title. They definitely do. And as you said, no parts one, part two, part three. Yeah.
Well, if it is, it's just all the parts together. So we've got a couple of Hall of Famers. Yeah. We've created the Ridiculously Long Song Title Hall of Fame.
Yes,
and there's
we have.
Couple of people in that.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, too, we might talk about what is the purpose of a song title?
I like that.
And the reason I say this is because, therefore, what is the purpose of a really long song title? Because I think when we get to the end of it, we came to a bit of a conclusion, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So we'll come
Should
back to
so, the conclusion, or we
well,
just
firstly talk about to you what is a song title? What is the purpose of a song title?
So the purpose of a song title for me is to give me an insight into that song, what that song may be about, or to...
Does a song title entice you, though, really? Do you think, oh, that song title sounds interesting?
Sometimes it does, actually. So sometimes I'll listen to a song title. We're talking about Courtney Barnett, for example.
Yep. Yep.
And she's got a song title called Pedestrian at Best.
Yes.
Pedestrian is like my favourite word for saying something's rubbish. When I say it's just so pedestrian. And so I've seen that. I've gone, I instantly like that song. I best listen to it. Yeah. And I do like it too.
Because generally for me, it's just a way to refer to the song.
Oh, okay.
So, you know.
Shorthand.
You know, rather than going that Michael Jackson song that had all the zombies in it that kind of changed the way that people did music videos, which is what he should have called it.
Yes.
You know, if you want to make this list.
In brackets.
Yeah. In brackets, and maybe Quirky Engineer will talk about this in 35 years' time.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, instead he called it Thriller.
Yeah.
So you go, oh, yeah, Thriller. I know what that is. Yeah. So it's the instant association, especially
definitely.
With a good song.
Yes.
I think.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely.
And it's, you know, something short, usually short, snappy. These songs are not in that category. They're not neither short nor snappy.
No. But you're right. It is like it's a shorthand. So it's like a code that people can have a conversation about. So they can sort of go, oh, that song.
Oh, that song. Yes. Yeah. But I think, you know, we're talking about conclusion, and maybe do we get to the conclusion now that what we've found overall, there's a couple of songs in here that buck that trend.
Yeah.
But generally when you oversell it and make it too long a title, there's, you know, a lot of sausage, a lot of sizzle, and not very much sausage.
You're really trying to find the words that mean we won't get sued.
Yeah.
I think you did a really good job.
Trying a bit too hard.
Yeah.
Overcompensating for what is a ordinary song.
Pedestrian song.
Yeah, pedestrian. There you go. Pedestrian song.
Yeah. Pedestrian
songs. There are some very pedestrian songs with extraordinarily long song titles.
Yes.
But some of them actually fit with the genre they're in.
Yep, absolutely.
So we might Well, we won't start with those. We'll go to the Hall of Famers first.
Let's go to the Hall of Famers.
Hall of Famers, because that actually might demonstrate our
point. Hall of Flame, as I was calling it.
You were calling the Hall of Flame, and some of them probably are diving, yes, or going down in flames because that's kind of where they're going. So, Fallout Boy, I don't think we can talk about ridiculously long song titles without mentioning Fallout Boy, because pretty much 90% of their songs have more than 10 words in them.
Yeah.
Sometimes even without brackets.
Yeah. They weren't a fan of the
brackets. They made an art of really, that was their thing, which, you know, you go, okay, cool, that's your thing.
Yeah, that's your differentiator.
It spawned a whole lot of what I would call indie garage rock.
Definitely garage.
/ emo, / I'm wearing eyeliner, / I'm dyeing my hair black, even if it's not, or even if it is, and I'm just going to dye it blacker.
Blacker.
So there's a whole little genre of those bands that then thought, hey, let's all have ridiculously long song titles.
And I think black,
Fallout black Boy kind of had the best song titles. We looked at a few other. Panic at the Disco had some.
Yeah.
Who were the Swedish guys?
The Hives.
The Hives.
Yep.
A few of them, sort of My Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Think that kind of genre.
Yeah. This really sounds like they're in the garage right now playing the music.
In fact, even when you listen to the studio versions, you go, I'm actually waiting for, in the middle of some of them, I was waiting for somebody's mum to come in and go, do you want me to bring some snacks in? Mum, we're recording. Some of them felt like that.
Yeah, absolutely. That they were still practicing.
Yeah. Fine. Got it. All right, leave the cookies. Okay. Well, let's just get back to it. Okay, we'll have a break, everyone, and eat the cookies. And then we'll get back to this crap song.
So let's talk about some of those lovely song titles. So
Fallout Boy, I think my favourite Fallout Boy song title here was I Slept With Someone in Fallout Boy and All I Got Was This Stupid Song Written About Me.
Yeah, that is quite a good classic song, I reckon. And I also loved Our Lawyer Made Us Change the Name of This Song so we wouldn't get sued.
Yes.
Well, that was quite funny.
There's millions of them. The other band that we'll put in the ridiculously long song titles Hall of Fame are the Flaming Lips,
yeah.
They've got quite a few. The Flaming Lips they're an acquired taste, and I think you either love them or just have no idea who they are.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any...
In between.
Yep. I don't think there's people who hate the Flaming Lips. There's just, I don't know who they are, I don't know much about them, or I'm...
Yeah.
Or you absolutely love them, and I don't think there's an in-between.
Yeah. And really not.
I know some passionate passionate Flaming Lips fans, and they will fight to the death to
to defend.
Yeah, if we said those songs are a bit ordinary.
Death threats, you reckon?
Not quite, but close. Yeah, I know.
Blank.
Not that Jason Bryan will listen to me, but Jace, if you are listening, you know, don't dislike the Lips. I don't get them like you do.
Oh, that's a nice way of saying they're rubbish.
Shut up. So I think the
words in your mouth. Let's talk about the song.
I was going to say, I think the best one that we picked out of that was the guy who had a headache and accidentally saved the world. Which I think is a very, very cool song title. From the looking at a lot of the Flaming Lips and actually looking through some of the lyrics, which I love.
Yeah,
they're very clever.
Very clever.
Clever writing. The music's not my thing, but that doesn't mean they're bad. It just means I don't particularly like them.
Okay.
So that's our Hall of Famers. Neil got
sued in the last time that we had. I think
my previous life.
I don't know.
I'm thinking it's ahead.
Like from the last.
When we are super famous, they're going to come after us and they're going to go back to our old stuff.
All back catalogue.
Yep.
Download all our back catalogue. Which
you can get on iTunes. Yeah.
Woohoo!
So we have our top 10 songs, but before the top 10.
We're going to do Trippers.
Three songs that are ridiculously long song titles.
And ridiculously trippy.
Super trippy. I don't mean a little bit trippy. I mean, I actually thought that someone had slipped acid into the drink that I'd had, or that someone had snuck into the house, slipped a roofie into my drink, snuck out again. I drank it half an hour later. I then listened to this song and went, oh my God.
Yeah.
These songs take you somewhere.
Yeah. Weird.
And it's a weird place. And We were talking about some of our own. We went without talking too much about illicit substances that we may or may not have had in our lives. You haven't had a lot.
No, I haven't had a lot.
I did have a little period in my life where I tried a few different things, including acid. And which is why some of these songs just talk to me. I'm right. Like, wow, you guys do this all the time.
Yeah. So then I'm feeling like the little lame person here, and I probably need to explain a little bit of a story as to why.
Is it
that's not been attractive to me?
Is it the story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls?
No, not quite.
Oh, I love that story.
My dad had chronic pain when he was alive, and it's dad's anniversary of his passing on Monday, so he's very close to me right now.
Yeah.
But chronic pain to the point where he was taking 40 Panadols a day, and they were not
40?
40. And they were not cutting through that pain, so he had to...
What?
Yeah. So extreme amounts of really bad, you know, because they're not good for you, that quantity at all. And he had to learn, like, transcendental meditation and hypnosis and a whole heap of other things to be able to manage the pain. Like, it was extreme pain.
Stronger drugs.
But 40 Panadols a day. So my whole kind of life, I've kind of seen, I can see what illegal and over-the-counter drugs can do to you. I'm not even sure I want to know what illegal drugs can do to you because I've seen that. I've lived it. I've walked around, been very, very careful. So that's it. And I did try, you know, some stuff when I was at uni in Lismore. It's very close to Nimbin.
Yeah, very, very close to Nimbin.
Very, very close to Nimbin. So you would have got some
good stuff.
Yeah, and the experiences I had, some of them were good, and one was really, really shitty bad. And I'd prefer to get drunk.
Yeah. Which is another legal drug.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cheers.
Whereas I've had daffodils talking to me once and all sorts of other fun things.
Daffodils talking to you would be fun.
It was fun. They were really cheery too. They were like, you know, cheery. How daffodils are yellow? They're really happy. Yeah, they were happy daffodils.
Yay.
So speaking of these three songs all took me back there. The first song
back to trippiness.
By awesome Australian band, yeah, Tame Impala.
Love Tame Impala.
Nothing that has happened so far is anything we could have controlled. Just the whole zen of that song title.
Yeah, it's like just be at peace.
You know what, man? Baby. It's just like, it's not your fault. It's all just like... Yeah,
it's just the universe, man.
Take this and let the colours take over. Man, it's all good. Have some of this, man. Have some. It's just, I don't know. To me, I just went on a Homer Simpson kind of talking coyote journey. It was I haven't been exposed to Tame Impala a lot because I've kind of lost touch with Triple J's Hottest 100. I've seen their names and gone, oh, yeah, they're probably good because they've got a lot of, and then I've just started in the last year or two listening to their music going, wow, they're really good.
Yeah, they are really good. Yeah, I like Tame Impala.
And this was, and again, because like it's clever lyrics too, it's really clever. Clever lyrics.
And their album titles are actually really good as well. I think that's actually where I found Tame Impala. I told you about my Spotify experiment where I go onto Spotify and they have new releases, like a section for new releases. Yeah. So I go in there and I look at it and I look at the album title.
Yep.
Just as a thought experiment. You know, I love thought experiments. Yes,
you do.
So it's a thought experiment.
And you love album covers too.
Yes, absolutely. So I look at it and I kind of go, which album cover is attractive to me? What do I like from a design perspective? And then I listen to that and then see if I like it. And overwhelmingly, if I like the album cover, I like the music.
Wow. So you've got years worth of empirical evidence to support that.
That absolutely. Weird, but true.
That is cool. So the album covers that don't cut it, you don't even listen to them.
Well, I'll listen to them because, you know, you've got to have a blind, double blind study.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of just, you know,
so you went, I hate that song, and then went, oh, look at the album cover. I hate that.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's quite bizarro.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else wants to try that experiment, I'd love to know if that works for anybody else or whether it's just me.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I know there's been some exceptions with you before that group that did Sounds of Silence, Disturbia.
Disturbia, yep.
Yeah. You hated their album cover and said it scared the crap out of you.
Yeah.
But you loved the song.
Yeah. Almost like you have to turn it over. Probably
because it's an older song, yeah.
Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, so, and it was a cover of a great song.
So, definitely. So, yeah.
So that was trippy song number one. I'll keep talking on the trippy one. Singers on the trippster.
Let me.
No, I want to. Mom, she just took the song.
Because you didn't hear the trippster, but you know, whatever. Go. So the next song that we want to talk about in the trippster category of three is several species of small furry animals gathered together in a cave, and grooving with a Pict. By none other than Pink Floyd. So even if you're going to go trippy. I'm going to go trippy. Yep. They're the band to do it with.
Hell yes.
Now, confession time, I don't like Pink Floyd.
I know. I was surprised by this.
I just think they've, and I've written an F word, so I think they're fucking weird. Yep. And this song
You actually wrote fucking weird.
Yeah. But
compared to the rest, at least they're trying to do something different. She wrote yes, no next to everything else, but this one got an essay.
Got an answer.
You got a ridiculously long
explanation. Yeah, you got a really ridiculously long explanation, in brackets even. And I quite like this. I love the sound of the furry animals. You can absolutely tell you're in a cave, and I love the fact that at the end there's a Scottish person
and talking. And a Pict is a
Pict. And a Pict is a...
You might want to explain what a Pict is.
Okay, so in Braveheart there was...
With the blue and white face,
Blue faces, half their faces were painted blue, and that is actually part of the clan. They're kind of a clan of clans. So there's all clan, a whole bunch of clans that are part of the Pict tribe, and that is a symbol of that Pict tribe. Mm-hmm. So having a Scottish person talking and knowing that that's a Pict.
Which is freaking weird because it's about a five-minute song, which is quite short for a Pink Floyd song.
Yes,
especially one that's this, the trippy. Yep. And about 3.5 minutes, you just hear birds chirping, furry little animals foraging in the forest and going, "Oh, I'm going to eat some little worms," and whatever they're doing. And then this Scottish person just starts speaking and you go, what are they doing? What are they saying? And I don't know if it's Bobby Burns poetry. It sounds poetic, but it's just, you go, wow, that's, wow. What the hell did you guys take when you were doing this? Because it is freaking weird.
Freaking weird.
But fun. And again, I like that because it's like it different. Actually. It's not, yeah, I love you. You know, it's just. You know what?
Let's go out there.
Let us just freaking do what we want. Yep. They knew their audience. They totally knew their audience.
And I really liked it for that reason.
Mm.
So I really liked it for that season. Funnily enough, though, they have very good album covers. So they that's do. Maybe the
I was going to ask you about that.
Exception to the rule a little bit there. Really good album covers. Their album covers are awesome.
Incredible. And a lot of effort probably goes into it. They've got some of the best album covers, like most memorable album covers.
Yeah.
Okay, weird. But there's always exceptions to rules.
There is exceptions to rules. That's good. Why you have rules, because there's no exceptions. Anyway,
so then the third trippy one.
I can't believe we haven't even spoken.
Everybody's
about
got something to hide except me and my monkey, which is the Beatles.
Who doesn't have a pet monkey?
Yeah. I know.
It's like everyone does, doesn't it?
Yeah, and to me, I know this is the Beatles in their experimental, you know, Guru Swami kind of phase.
Do you remember when they used to say Guru Swami Bagalaris, you, I'm right, mate, or something?
Yeah. Like a ridiculously long title for their Swami.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I'm not a big... Not a big fan. I love the Beatles. This one was just meh.
Yeah.
And in terms of trippiness, I thought the Pink Floyd one was
way trippier.
Way trippier. Yeah.
Yeah. Even the Tame Impala, I'd actually say, would be way trippier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in terms of trippiness,
on the tripometer,
Beatles, then Tame Impala, then Pink Floyd. Is that kind of the order we're going in?
Yeah. Tame Impala and Pink Floyd together, I reckon on that. Not if you put their whole collective work.
But these particular songs.
These particular songs are pretty close. Mm, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have to have a trippy off.
So that's it. Maybe we'll have our trip list.
Maybe. We'll
get some old stoner to come in and join
Maybe
us.
Maybe you will, because I'll be like.
I just thought of someone. I won't mention their name.
Oh, do I know them?
Maybe. Okay. But anyway.
Right. Oh, it's not something I was thinking.
Okay, so let's go to our top 10 ridiculously long song titles.
Ridiculously long song titles.
So you can talk about number 10.
So we talked before about how there was this strange...
An inverse relationship between
the length of the
quality
song.
Of a song and the length of the song title.
So the longer the song, generally the worse the song actually is. So there were some very, very, very clear ones around that. Looking at you, rednecks.
You know who you are, rednecks.
But this is a Christine Levine song, which actually we'll have to talk in a tick about the short version, short title of it.
Mm.
But the proper title, the official title is Regretting What I... you're going to do this. Do you want to do this?
Do you want to do this in one breath? I can do it. Okay.
I'll probably take breaths and stuff.
Regretting what I said to you when you called me 11 o'clock on a Friday morning to tell me that at 1 o'clock Friday afternoon you're going to leave the office, go downstairs, hail a cab and go out to the airport to catch a plane to go skiing in the Alps for 2 weeks. Not that I wanted to go with you. I wasn't able to leave town. I'm not a very good skier. I couldn't expect to pay my own way. But after going out with you for 3 years, I don't like surprises.
So the shorter version of that, for those that may not have quite that amount of breath, is Musical Apology. And the exception is because this is actually quite a good song.
And you know what? I found this song and sent it to you, and you did your research and listened. I went, you know what? Get fucked. This song is going to be really shit because it's so ridiculously long. That rule, it was an extreme of the rule that we'd come up with.
I know, it was bizarre. And I
went, no, I'm not even listening. And then you went, no, this song's actually really good.
It
is
really good. Shut up,
now I'm going to have to listen to it.
So she actually then writes the song in an apology. So she talks about sort of things. And maybe the reason that I like it is it reminds me a little bit of The Smiths in some of the things that they talk about.
Dark and depressing.
Dark and depressing. So just to give you a little bit of a snippet, I was kidding when I said I hope the 103 bus hits and makes a pancake out of you. So just, you know, a little bit of a snippet of it.
We've all said that to ex-lovers or friends before.
I didn't mean it when I said, I hope the cable in the elevator snaps when you step on board. And I was joking when I said, I hope you crack your head and get mangled by the downstairs revolving doors. Yeah.
We've all had those moments, Christine.
We've all been there. Christine, we know exactly how you feel.
I've never put them in a song, especially one with 257 words in it or whatever it is. I don't know. I just made that number up. Yes, I'm going to have to listen to this now. Good luck putting that on a song list too. That'll take up the Spotify playlist.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll just say regretting what I said, ...
Yeah, if you can find it. So that's
Christine Levin, Levin, if you want to look at that. We'll put it on our Spotify list.
Yes, we will. Yep, we will.
At number nine,
with a bullet.
This is a song that both of us have sung when in this situation.
Absolutely. It's the song you sing.
You'll always find me in the kitchen at parties. And I always end up in the kitchen at parties.
Yes, me too.
Well, my own parties because I'm furiously getting food for everyone.
Yes.
Because I love doing that.
Yeah.
But even at other parties, you go, I'll just be in the kitchen. It's kind of the place to hang out.
It is.
Because there's the lounge where everyone is. There's the backyard where everyone's getting pissed or throwing up or pissing somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's the drugs. Wow, the drugs. Room, the sex room, that door is locked, do not go in there because two people are doing bound chicka chicka wow. Did we go to different parties?
I think so.
Okay, then there was the drugs room where people are passing a J around.
Yeah, right. Well, it could just be that I'm oblivious when I'm at parties.
Because you were always in the kitchen. See, I at least flitted around to other rooms.
Oh, right. You're in the sex room, you're in
the drug room. Well, because I went from the kitchen to, hey, do you want some food? Anyone? You know, little boys? Anyone?
No, let's just be clear. You're making me sound like I'm the lamest person in the world. I don't do drugs. I'm always in the kitchen parties because nobody wants to talk to me. Rubbish. I'm just busy. Be me.
In the kitchen.
No. You've been an ass.
Well, it does say you'll always find me in the kitchen at a party. I would have
you
to say you'd
find
quite
me.
Often find me in the kitchen at parties, yeah, but you wouldn't specific. Always find me in the kitchen.
You
at
would
parties.
Not always find me in the kitchen.
Often,
at parties
often I'll find
either.
It. Often I will make a dance floor somewhere in the lounge, preferably on your couch. Probably best not to invite me to your house to a party.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Some sort of American Pie thing. Stifler's mom's house. Yeah.
Weird.
Anyway, but great song.
It is a great song.
It's not a great song for that time. For that song, it was 1980, I think.
1980 it was released.
But it's so, you know, it's minor key. It's almost mopey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Always find me in the kitchen.
He does sing that a little bit faster. John O'Louie.
I almost went into Neil from the Young Ones. I feel like he should be singing it.
Maybe he should.
I think he should have released that.
He probably should have.
Nigel Planter.
Yeah. It's a hint.
If you haven't done this already, I think you should.
It also had a bit of a revival in 2010 as it was used for IKEA.
An IKEA ad.
IKEA ad about kitchens, funnily enough.
Weird, yeah.
Weird. Go figure. Yeah, how odd. How very, very old.
Well, actually, the bizarro thing was that, didn't we look up, it made number 70 on the UK charts, so people actually went, I remember that song.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy it.
Yeah. It's a bit of a revival for him.
Bit of a revival.
Good on you, Jonah.
All right. You get number 8.
Do I? No. Okay, because you're going to have number 7. That's why.
Come.
All right. So.
Ask me.
So, Neil, if I said you had a beautiful body, would you hold it against me? By the Bellamy Brothers.
Maybe this should be the Angels with the no way get fucked fuck off answer.
Oh, I think so. Because this is a song and being a girl. I don't know, will this happen to you?
being a girl hasn't happened. Well, okay, after quite a few drinks, maybe, but yeah.
Have you had this line?
No.
Okay.
I have had a guy come up to me in a bar and say, "Did it hurt?" And I went, "What do you mean?" He went, "When you fell down from heaven."
Oh my Lord, that is terrible.
I clapped him, I laughed, I went, "Oh my God, that's hilarious. No, bye."
Yeah, that's a
Did
very
someone actually?
Yes.
So yes, this is a sleazy pickup line, go, thinly disguised as a song.
And you go, "You just no."
Well, it's trying to be a clever play on words.
It's not. It's just gross.
No, it's trying to be a clever.
I know. Play on words.
It doesn't succeed. Okay.
I know, but you know how I feel about this song.
You know, because the next line I think is, if I said you were an angel, would you treat me like the devil tonight?
Yeah. So
it's then trying to get into S&M territory when it's a lame-o song anyway.
It's lame-o.
Yeah. So.
So sorry about Only Brothers. Sorry, Rod Stewart, who actually did a cover of it. And Rod Stewart's like hot, hot, hot from a sexual metery thing.
A sexual metery thing. Yeah. Okay, kiddies, have we all got one of those? I'm going to say next time I don't need to go and pick up people in bars, but I'm going to say, "Hey, you scored very highly on my sexual metery o thing. Would you like to snog?"
The last
I am
part.
Totally going to be in. I am totally going to be in.
Anyway, let's move right on.
Because, moving right along.
Making a fool out of me.
Pity the fool that makes a fool out of you. Because you're going to get me right back in this. I love this song and you don't.
It's rubbish.
Yep, I love it. I freaking love it. And I fought to get this in.
He did fought. We actually had a deal.
We did.
I was allowed to include you.
You're allowed you two in the previous podcast because I don't particularly like them. I said, okay, you get that if I get to have, if that's your boyfriend.
Michelle.
If that's your boyfriend, it wasn't last night. He wasn't last night. Michelle Indegicello. Actually, her name was something more. It was like Michelle Martin. It was something really plain when she was born. She changed it to Swahili word that means lovely. I don't know what it means. It means something nice. I did look at it. I just really like her. As an artist, I think she's really soulful. She shaves her head. She's bisexual. She doesn't give a fuck about anything. She's like, you know what? Okay. Here's what I am. She is a funky bass player. She's crazy, sexy, cool. You're just looking at me like, whatever. I liked it, and I like this song. I think it's actually. Yeah. I think it's taking the piss.
So I could say something, and he'll just get going.
I think the song is taking the piss a bit. It's not like I'm a boyfriend stealer. It's a, you know, whatever you think he's your boyfriend. So why would he be knocking on my door if you know to go well with me? If he's your boyfriend in inverted commas, go.
So I just think that it's not very good musically. So I get maybe there's a whole vibe going, but I just thought it was boring and dull.
Oh, see, I like the funky bass line and the hip hop with it. And I think she fits the words in really well.
Yep, baby. But I just thought it was pedestrian.
I gave it 5 stars, Margaret.
Okie doke. Okay. Right.
Go.
Let's go to an Aussie classic.
This one oh my God, this is a classic.
A classic.
Yes, we agree that this is a great song.
It is a great song, but we prefer the alternate lyrics, so we should probably give the proper lyrics.
So the proper lyrics are, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Classic.
Akadaka.
You don't even, AC/DC, no one calls it AC. Who calls it AC/DC in Australia? Really? Really?
You're trying to be proper.
But yeah.
The better way is it's a long way to the shop.
If you want a sausage roll. Sorry, boys, but that's just, it's how it evolved, didn't it? And it was because back then.
Did you just say in it?
In it, no.
It evolved, in it.
No, in a. In a. Yes.
Oh, so two words.
Because back in those days, the only place you could get a sausage roll was the shop.
Yeah.
You couldn't get them in the freezer section of the supermarket.
No.
And sometimes it was a long way to the shop if you wanted a sausage roll.
Absolutely. Definitely was in our place. Oh, my God. It was such a long way to the shop.
Actually, it wasn't for me. We lived in number 9 in our street, and the shop was on the corner. So I only had to walk past 5 houses.
That would have been so good.
It was so good. And they had a pinball machine in the video. They always had two, like a new, and every 2 months or 3 months, they got a new pinball.
Wow.
And a new video game.
Place.
So I just spent ages in there.
So even when we were out at Gorman's Hill, in Bathurst, in Bath.
Bath.
When we were out at
Gorman's Hill. For those who don't live, yeah. You know, it's just Bath.
Bath. So we, the corner shop wasn't too far away, but it was kind of like, you know, down a couple of blocks and around the corner. Mm. But
it was a milk bar, right?
Yeah. No, it was a corner shop, so it wasn't a proper milk bar. It was just a corner shop.
That's just called a milk bar.
Yeah, even fancier. Weird. So fancy. But I booked up stuff and put them on our account. And Dad went in one day to buy the newspaper.
There's lollies mainly, yeah, yeah. Yes, yeah.
And Dad's, and the, you know, shopkeeper has gone, oh, Bob, did you want to settle the account? And Dad's gone, what account? I don't have an account. And he's gone, oh, you know, Christina's been in here. She's been booking up lollies. And part of Dad's going, damn, that's clever. And part of Dad's going,
you're in so much trouble.
Yeah. So that, he quelled that whole process. And then I just made best friends with the shop owner's daughter.
Yeah, hello. And then you just I'm went and get my fix of exactly. More than one way to skin a cat, Dad.
Don't think you're going to stop me that easily.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So, yes, a long way to the top. Long way to the just top. Classic. Yeah. And not ridiculous. Well, long. Long if you have, if you want to rock and roll in brackets.
Yes.
And that's why we included the brackets.
Yes, absolutely.
So we can include just classic songs like classic. This. I don't think we need to say anymore. It's a classic. No. It is classic. A classic.
Classic. All right, number five.
You can do number five, can too. Can I, please? Yeah.
So I love the Smiths. And this
really?
Song. Yeah. I know. Surprise.
Shut up, girlfriend.
Surprise!
Yeah.
Yeah. So this song is called Stop Me If You Think You've Heard This One Before. So it's a classic Smiths song. It's probably a little less well-known
than some of the others. I didn't know it. And I listened and went, eh. Wasn't quite pedestrian, but it was it was all right, but it wasn't like some of the Smith songs I really like. Yes, and yeah. This one was
yeah. It's just very that whole angsty Morrissey sort of thing going on.
That he does so well.
So well.
In fact, does he do anything else except that?
No.
Okay, good.
He's found his groove.
That's it.
He's sticking to it.
It's my niche
and I'm loving it and I'm all over it, baby.
Yeah, fair enough then.
Yeah, good on him. So yeah. There you go. So that's Morrissey. Stop Me If You've Heard This One Before. A lot of the song titles that the Smiths have actually are not too short. Yeah. So there's Please
Let Me Get What I Want.
Yeah, so maybe they're not short. This time. Yeah. But this one's probably one of the little bit longer ones. So. Yeah, okay. Good old Smiths. Right, so four. Let's do it. Number four, do you remember which one that is?
Yes, ooh, number four was no. Well, I can announce it.
Yep,
announce it. Nobody Cares If You Don't Go to the Party by Courtney Barnett.
So Courtney Barnett is an Australian artist, for those people that don't know. She did win an ARIA a couple of years ago for her album, Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit, which I think is particularly hilarious. And we were talking about her before in that she's got a song called Pedestrian at Best.
Yes.
Which, considering pedestrian is like my go-to...
This is your new terrible word tonight. You've said it about seven times.
I have said it about seven times because I'm trying to wean myself off sweet.
Yep. Yes, good.
Although well, they've got very different purposes.
I've already forgotten sweet.
Yeah, anyway.
All right.
So the album is called Sometimes I Sit and Think and Sometimes I Just Sit, which has very different connotations you, for you, doesn't
back
it?
Back in the 70s, and maybe I just was in different houses, but this is one of those posters that people put on the back of their toilet with a guy sitting on the toilet going, sometimes I just sit and thinks and sometimes I just sits. So to me, this song is about having a poo. That when I hear sometimes I just sit.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just sit. I know it's not,
yeah.
But that's just...
But, you know, I've introduced you to Courtney now and you know that, you know, she's pretty groovy.
And actually, and with the Courtney thing, I didn't even realize, didn't make that connection because I said she's... It sounded like Hole's earlier stuff,
yes.
Courtney Love, and went, wow, and she's Courtney as well,
yeah,
Courtney Barnett.
Look at that.
But, yeah, there was just a bit of that just angsty grunge, reinvented 90s angsty grunge for me. I liked this song and I'd never heard it before, so thank you for...
You're welcome.
Thank you for introducing me to Courtney.
And I quite like her because she talks about stuff. She talks, it's almost like she's talking rather than singing.
Yeah.
In the songs, and she talks about things that in Australia we find ridiculously stupid, like the price of housing and things like that. So it just feels very real as an artist, and she feels very real, and I love her. I love her for that.
Awesome.
Go, Courtney. Me again. Yay. Yay. Yay, yay, yay. So... Neil is grinning like you wouldn't believe.
Hopefully not to death.
No, please not to death. Touchy wood. So the song is called The People Who Grin Themselves to Death by the House Martins. So we're House Martins fans.
I like the House
Martins. We are House Martins fans. Particularly because of the a cappella piece.
More of their a cappella stuff for me. As soon as there's instruments, which this has in it.
It does.
I'm less of a fan, but good voices.
I love their voices. And, you know, most of their songs I can sing word for word all the way through because I like them. And I particularly like that this one is about, it has a reference to the Queen as well, because they just wanted to make sure that the Queen was happy. So it's like, ooh, what are they really saying? I don't know, actually. Apart from that, they grin themselves to death. Okay. The people did that. Yeah,
grinning. Just some people, or just referring to the people who grin themselves to death.
The people who grin themselves to death. So they're, I don't know if it's a cult. Maybe it's a cult.
Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe it's just Queen fans. I mean, as the Queen of England fans, not Queen the band fans.
Yes, different people. Well, no, they're probably not mutually exclusive.
I think you'd like the Queen.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that shaded bit in the middle where the two circles intersected. We both did the same thing with our fingers then, like, ooh, yeah. Everybody knows what a Venn diagram is. It all sent shudders down your spine.
You go, oh my God, they're doing. Oh,
hang on, what did mutually exclusive mean? No.
So that was number three.
Number two.
So fast we're getting there.
Number two, elderly woman behind the counter in a small town.
Oh, she sounds lovely.
She does sound lovely. And Eddie Vedder, Pearl Jam. Eddie makes her sound lovely.
He does make her sound lovely.
And it's something familiar about it. I was a big Pearl Jam fan because 90s grunge was right in my, you know, I was 21 years old. That was just the peak of that time. So I had both their first two albums. My peak.
No, I'm joking.
So in terms of... So 90s grunge, Pearl Jam, this is from their second album, which was Verse? I never knew how to pronounce it. VS.
Verses.
Okay. Well, it was the one with the sheep that had its head kind of squished up against a fence.
Right, yeah.
So their first album was 10, and that had Alive and some of the big songs that they became known for. And then this second album, Verses, also had some great songs. Very grungy, very heavy guitar, very angry, lots of yelling by Eddie. Daughter, there was some song, It's My Blood, Rats. There were some songs that they just... He went, oh my God, I need to do something to calm down after this.
Wow.
And this song is written, and then you have this song, and it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
You're going, wow, and it's just simple. I'm not even sure there's drums in it. It's just like an acoustic
with
guitar.
With a brush, though, rather than
just
a...
So if there's very little production and just Eddie singing.
Yeah, it's smooth.
In fact, you can almost understand the words he's saying.
Almost.
Yeah, almost, because he can never really understand what Eddie's saying. Just keep doing what you're doing, Eddie. I do love you.
Yeah, for sure.
Just if you could enunciate, that would just be a cherry on top of the Pearl Jam cake. But, yeah, this is just a nice song.
It is
on
a nice song.
Good album, but well-placed in the album, because you get a lot of angst and... And then you just have this song go, okay, that's a little bit nicer. I'm ready to... go for the last couple of songs in.
And hearing this again made me kind of go, oh, maybe I need to revisit Pearl Jam. Maybe I need to go check them out again. Maybe I dismissed them
out of
hand.
Like you did with Oasis.
Yeah, but he was, yeah.
Yeah.
We know the reason.
Well, because he's a dick, we've had that discussion.
We have.
Eddie Vedder's not a dick.
No, and I'm not saying that at all. Please, not saying that at all. Okay. But it did make me go, oh, I think I might need to revisit. As I did with Oasis.
I think everyone should.
Revisit
your Pearl Jam. If you don't have any Pearl Jam, go and get some.
Yeah. Do yourself a favour.
And so...
Can you believe that we've gotten to our number one already? It feels so super duper fast.
I know. And this one, actually, we made a ridiculously long list.
Yes, we did.
And we cut down the ridiculously long list because some were just stupid.
Yeah, ridiculous.
And then they made us listen to the song and then we went, not only is this a stupid song title, it's a shit song.
Yeah. Assholes.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing. Emo people with eyeliner.
And in your
mum's garage.
Making noise.
Yeah.
Not even music.
Whatever. But this one.
This song.
This is the business.
It is the business.
And still, sadly, very, very relevant in today's world.
Absolutely.
It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine in brackets. That's what I like, that bit in brackets too. Right. So it's like, it's the end of the world as we know it. And you go, oh, that's really depressing. They go, oh, but I feel fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's okay.
Yeah. And it's also quite
upbeat. Yay for Xanax.
Yeah. But it's also quite upbeat in a rhythm as well. So it feels like you can kind of belt this out and know that it's okay because I feel fine.
I think if you truly hated someone at karaoke, you'd go, you know what? Sing this song. Try and sing this. I reckon this would be one of the hardest songs to sing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not just the words. Like, you'd have to almost... It's, some of it's faster than rapping.
Yeah.
It's just incredible.
It's really fast, yeah.
Michael Stipe gets through quite a lot.
Quite a lot.
Quite a lot of words in a very short space of time. And they're all very carefully crafted words. Yes. It's not just rubbish words.
Yeah.
It's like they almost sped him up to...
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if they did.
So you've seen REM in concert.
Yeah.
Is this one of the last ones they do?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a crowd pleaser.
And as you've said before, every REM fan apparently knows every word to every song.
Yep.
Including this?
Yes.
Really? And they all just sing it?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And it's interesting because if you said to me sing it now, I wouldn't be able to do it, but if I sang it, no problems at all. You go,
that's right, it starts with an earthquake.
Yeah.
Planes and trains and aeroplanes or something. So, yeah. Lenny Bruce is not.
You can do it when you're doing it.
And then it goes crazy.
Yeah. So there's a little bit where you can kind of do it and then you go crazy. But yeah, the entire 10,000 people stadium.
Is there slam dancing as well? Because I think this needs some slam dancing with it.
I'm trying to think in the mosh pit whether there was. We're actually in seats at that time. So I can't remember whether I saw it in the mosh pit, but there was lots of pogo, you know, jumping up and down and stuff. Pogo. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I always think of pogo dancing with Sepp Lamp. Sepp Lamp, boom, wah,
wah. Sepp Lamp, boom, wah, wah. I did a dance concert to that song, actually. Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that another night. So
everyone's up, so it's just the whole room is kind of moving and dancing.
Heaving.
Yes.
I think we started with trippy songs. This one, if it had to be a drug, would probably be speed, I think.
Yes, absolutely.
Some kind of thing that just went, woo! Hi, everyone. I'm just doing a big pet line. Woo! Let's go. It's the end of the world. No, I feel fine.
Either that or it could just be Colin talking normally.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Yeah. We love you, Colin. But
love you very much, Colin.
It's funny because it's true.
So there you go.
So that's our number one song. Well done, REM. Songs. Well done, REM, for bucking the trend as well with a ridiculously long song title. But a really good song.
A really good song.
Frickin' good song.
And I think that this was a super interesting list for us to do because as you said earlier in the piece, there's an inverse relationship.
Generally, there is.
And the quality of it.
And even if you don't like half the songs on this list, these are the best ones we could find.
Yeah.
So some of those you'd go, yeah, if we had a wider thing, no, that wouldn't make it.
No.
Yeah, this was a tricky one for us.
It was a tricky one. And I'm glad we did it. Because I remember thinking on the way over, these songs are shit. Why are we not talking all of about them? Well,
but we actually found some. These are good. And I know I'm not going to convince you about it if that's your boyfriend. He wasn't last night, but I still love it. So
I know. I know.
And you still love The Sweetest Thing by U2 and I don't. So that's all good. It's all good.
So we're going to leave it on
We're going to pull a guitar out, sing Kumbaya, have a group hug. You don't need to be here for that. Thank you, everybody. Well. And we will see you.
Anon.
Coming to an iTunes podcast near you very shortly.
Bye.
Bye.